When was Jesus born? When did he die and rise from the grave? And what does the timing of these events have to do with Christian theology and practice for the last 2,000 years? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is titled, When Was Jesus Really Born? It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can check out When Was Jesus Really Born at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, When Was Jesus Really Born? It's a perennial story. I mean, there's going to be a story about this someplace every year when we get to this time of the year. We're headed into the so-called holiday season, Christmas, Hanukkah, all the other holidays that cluster around it, things like that. And of course, the story is always going to be about some school someplace that wanted to put up a Christmas tree and they had to call it a holiday tree, or some local municipality that wanted to have a creche outside, or they wanted to say Merry Christmas on the town sign, but they had to turn it to Happy Holidays. Down in Texas, by the way, this summer they passed a law called the Merry Christmas Law, where it basically said, look, as long as everyone's represented, then you can have all the kinds of religious symbols that you want, as long as every religion is represented during the holiday season. Joining us to talk about the media coverage of that story and a New York Times piece that our guest Tammy Ross says she wishes she had written herself. Tammy Ross, she spent 20 years in journalism, including stints as the religion editor for The Oklahoman and online editor for The Christian Chronicle, and she's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Tammy, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be here.
You wrote recently about an AP story on the Merry Christmas Law in Texas that was passed this summer, but actually given a little press recently. What was missing from this story?
Well, legs, arms, feet, just pretty much any body parts you can name. There was a whole lot missing, and not just the other side, but any perspective on this story. Basically, it was a rehash, I thought, of the press conference that took place in the legislature, and a missed opportunity because of that.
Why is that? Why do you find that insufficient, especially when it comes to a state essentially saying in this law, as far as I can read it, look, you can have kind of these very low-key religious observances or references, as long as everybody is represented. What's wrong with just saying, hey, this is what happened in the press conference?
Well, the press conference itself was just a really fun-filled Norman Rockwell kind of thing. It was lawmaker and his son and some Santa Clauses from Texas, and it was kind of a ho-ho-ho event, and pardon the pen. But what's missed in that, and when you just cover that event and don't delve into the need that these lawmakers felt to protect Christmas and to make it such an event, is any context of what's been going on in Texas over the years and the lawsuits, the battles that have played out in school districts and some in courts, and just the reasoning behind all of it. You miss all of that.
Did it do the very basics of kind of journalism 101 in that it gave both sides of the story? I mean, if you don't give context, that's difficult to do.
No context and not both sides. The AP story that I read presented one side, and it presented the side of the legislature that authored the bill. And how sad is it that we can't celebrate Christmas and can't celebrate Hanukkah, even though the law is called the Merry Christmas Law? Isn't it sad that our children are asked to decorate a holiday tree? You know, let's all rally around this symbol of Christmas and tell each other Merry Christmas. And that's all we got. We didn't get anything from the other side mentioning civil liberties. It was alluded to in the story. You know, many folks don't feel the same way, but we don't hear from any of them. And so not even Journalism 101 is covered here, I'm afraid.
So how do you think a story like this gets written? What's your best guess, given your experience in journalism? Why does the AP put something like this out rather than a more thoughtful, more considered and complete story?
Well, my best guess is that it was done on deadline, or it was done by someone who either has a very limited knowledge of the history of this in Texas, or perhaps doesn't really care about that, doesn't think that that is relevant to what he's doing that day, which is covering the legislature. And, you know, it's a shame because the Star-Telegram in Fort Worth did a much more complete story not only mentioning the event and giving some ink to that side of the story, but also mentioning, you know, the lawsuits, the battles, you know, that have waged in and out of court, and just the whole culture war over Christmas. I'm not even going to call it a war on Christmas, but it's more of a culture war that has waged out. And the Star-Telegram devoted the resources, the time, the effort, the thoughtfulness into not only producing a story that told both sides, but it did it on a timely fashion as well.
On the other end of the spectrum, you came across a New York Times piece that involved the issue of Christian adoption that you say you wish you had written yourself. What did you find there?
Oh, my goodness. This story was just wonderful. I'm so glad that a reader turned us on to this story. I do. I wish I had written it myself. I've written a few things on adoption over the years. We've had a couple of adoption experiences within my own extended family, and each one of those experiences is so personal and so wonderful, you want to share it. And not only did this writer from the New York Times share this story, she also did so in such a way that you were just drawn in. It was a lengthy story, but I never got bored, never wished that there was less reading. It was just a wonderful, wonderful look at a family and their experiences with adoption.
So give us the story briefly, what you found in that story, and kind of, other than what you just said here, why you find it excellent case of journalism covering all the angles on Christian adoption. What's the story that was told?
Well, it covered more than just all the angles. It was a complete story, and it was a story. It told a version of this couple's life and their experiences that not only followed a timeline but had a thread through it as well. And the story was about a family who arrived at a house in Denver to pick up the two little boys that they were going to adopt. And they were in foster care at the time, and the single foster mother handed a 2.5-year-old boy and his 9-month-old brother over to the couple. And she gave them a little suitcase that was broken. It had a mishmash of clothes in it that didn't fit, and just told them, you know, don't touch the older boy's head. He's scared. And she gave them some fish sticks, and that's all they got. And the story actually took us on a journey with this family. You know, why didn't the little boy want to be touched? What was their experience in their home life previous to foster care, then in foster care, and then with this family that really brought out the beauty in these children? And it didn't sugarcoat any of the issues or their experiences. It shared the doubts the family had, the struggles of the other children embracing their adopted siblings, and the difficulties of special needs children in a way that was just heartwarming and honest and pure.
And with only about a minute here, you say it did sufficiently cover the so-called God angle. What's that about?
Well, yes, the God angle, you know, a lot of times in adoption stories, especially during adoption month of November, you'll read these heartwarming stories about adoption, and they're wonderful. They're maybe a little sugar-coated. They don't address the angle of questioning that some parents have in regard to their fate. Adoptive parents will a lot of times say that they have a calling to adopt, but you don't ever hear the questions that they ask, or why God, why this child, why, you know, this situation, are we doing the right thing for our family? Just working through that faith questioning process as well as the faith affirming process. So that's what I really liked about this story. It wasn't afraid to ask hard questions about faith as well.
Tammy Ross spent 20 years in journalism, including stints as the religion editor for The Oklahoman and online editor for The Christian Chronicle. She's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Tammy, thanks for being our guest, and have a Merry Christmas.
You too. Thank you.
When we come back, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us, as he does every week. We'll do Christ in the Old Testament in Isaiah 35, the first 10 verses, "The ransomed shall return."
He Has Made Him Known, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
The true God
is not a God that will be found as a result of our God seeking. He will only be revealed as he looks for and finds us. This is what was happening when Jesus was born.
And for any size year-end donation, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the conversion of Paul. You can make an online tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Issues Etc. regular guests, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, Dr. Stephen Hine, Dr. Angus Manouge, and Craig Parton will be speaking at the summer study sessions of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, July 8th through the 19th in Strasbourg, France. For more information, visit apologeticsacademy.eu. The International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, July 8th through the 19th, apologeticsacademy.eu.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.